Memories of foot washing bring up a number of images and emotions for me. I remember the sweet moments of bathing my daughter Jill's tiny pink little pearl-like toes when she was an infant. The memory of those baths, of me bending over her and softly wiping her little toes, is precious. And now she's all grown up with four kids of her own, and all of them are well past the stage of tiny baby toes. And I recall from many decades ago when my father was hospitalized recovering from a fall some 20 feet from a building where he was installing a rooftop heating and air conditioning unit. One hip, a shoulder, and several ribs were broken. And I would stand at the foot of his bed and massage lotion into the dry skin of his feet. Not washing, really, but soothing in a different way. My beloved Aunt Grace, who lived to be 101, enjoyed the visits and care of another woman in her small Missouri town, a woman who was probably 80 herself, who would bathe my auntie's feet in an old enamel basin and then trim her thick, rough nails, gently tending the needs of a friend who could no longer do it for herself. Those are tender memories. They are times of exposure, times of vulnerability. Our bare feet can show a lot about us, can't they? Our age, the state of our health, perhaps, our ability or desire to care for our physical selves, and often our economic status. Maybe our feet tell us more about us than we are willing to acknowledge. It takes trust to strip off your shoes and socks and let someone else dip your feet in a basin of water and dry them. Bathing the feet of another person is a very intimate experience, often one of devotion and love. It wasn't so unusual in Jesus's time, though. In those days, people wore sandals, and probably a good number of them wore no shoes at all, and they walked on dusty roads. Their feet got very dirty, and I imagine most people's feet were in about the same condition. It was necessary, or it was customary, when visitors arrived to have one's servants wash their feet to make them more comfortable. It was a sign of welcome and hospitality. But note, it was the servants who did the foot bathing. That's what makes Jesus's gesture toward his disciples in that upper room on the night of the Last Supper so very extraordinary. During supper, Jesus, the rabbi, the one his followers called teacher and master and Lord, got up from the table, tied a towel around his waist, called for a basin of water, and then knelt down and bathed the feet of his friends, taking the role of a servant. Can you picture the poignancy of that act? Can you feel his gentle touch as he cradles your tired foot in his strong hand? Can you feel the roughness of the cloth as your Lord pats your toes dry? It is a model of humility and love. When Dave and I first came to Grace Church almost 10 years ago, it was not the custom here to enact that long-ago scene as part of the Maundy Thursday liturgy, to have another parishioner or the priest wash your feet, or in turn to bathe the feet of your neighbor. The past few years, Jonathan has adopted the practice with a limited number of folks representing the congregation. This year, we're inviting anyone who feels called to participate, to come forward and share what very well may be a new experience for you. And that experience, by the way, can be very moving. I wonder, why do we hold back from it? Are we squeamish about our toes? Do we just not want to show our feet to the world? Maybe you didn't get your pedicure this week. It does mean bearing one of the most calloused, least attractive, possibly misshapen parts of our bodies. And on top of that, we don't even get to decide who will be the one. What are we hiding? What are we protecting about ourselves? Are we just not willing to humble ourselves, to bathe another's toes, or even more, to allow someone to care for us in this way? Liturgical scholar Melinda Quivick offers some insight. She says, in a strong sense, foot washing is a metaphor for confession of sin, and on this day establishes in personal and unequivocal action the astonishing welcome Jesus offers to we who are, in our failings and deceits, not at all pleasant creatures. On this day, when Jesus' example shows us God's care for one of the least attractive, most avoided parts of the body, we are called upon to lift up the great generosity of God's compassion. For what is repentance if not the uncovering, the exposure of our unattractive parts? To be blunt, she goes on, it is as uncomfortable for most of us to bare our feet and let a stranger wash them as it is to speak the truth about our captivity to sin. The gospel reading for this evening is about more than foot washing, though. It begins and ends in love. Listen again. Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And loving them so very much, he serves them in a most intimate gesture of self-giving. And then he issues the commandment, the mandate, from Latin mandatum, where we get the name Maundy Thursday. He calls on them to love one another, to love each other in the same way he has loved them, serving, giving, healing, cherishing. And he gives us the same commandment. And may I suggest that we see it not only as the new commandment, but also as the freedom to be vulnerable and to love as generously and unconditionally as Jesus loves. Jesus is giving us permission to toss away our vanities, our concerns about what others may think of us or expect of us, to discard all our labels and worries. And Jesus calls us this night to bare our feet and our souls, to humble ourselves and to love as openly and freely as God loves us. Amen.